We are so honored that you are here tonight for our services. We are very happy to welcome those who are visiting with us tonight, and I do see several who are our guests, and we want you to know how grateful we are that you are here with us, and we hope that you'll find the time that you spent with us tonight to be such that you'll want to come back as often as you have an opportunity. I don't like to see this blank section down here in the front, but about 30 to 35 of our youth are gone to Georgia Road tonight for the area wide, and they'll be back later on tonight. That takes place every second Sunday night of each month, and we certainly miss them while they are away. And again, it's a joy to have back our college students who have not been here perhaps before, or maybe you've made your way back. We are certainly thrilled at the prospect of everybody getting back on campus soon. And our young people and our college students are a vital part of our work here at Delrata, and we're so glad to have you with us tonight. I want to talk about a subject tonight that is a subject that breaks my heart in many respects when you think about it. I want to talk about hardening the heart. You know, one of the major causes, I believe, in our world today for the rejection of the truth of God is simply a hardened heart, a closed mind, a complete unwillingness to submit to God regardless of the evidence. Many times truth, and in particular the truth of God's Word, is rejected not because it has been presented, not because opportunity may have been denied to hear the truth, but simply because the hearts of people were closed so tightly that those individuals simply would not be convinced. And it's not until one who possesses that kind of heart will open up his heart to the truth and pay attention to the testimony and the evidence of the truth that good fruit ultimately can be produced in that individual's lives. I want to look at a few texts to begin with tonight in reference to those who have hardened their hearts. We do read several instances in the Bible where there were individuals or groups of people who had a hardened heart. First of all, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, the Bible says they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Why? Their heart was hardened. You see, some people would not even be impressed with the reality of the miracles that Jesus did. And it wasn't because the miracles of Jesus were unreal. It wasn't because they were fraudulent. It wasn't because they had not witnessed those miracles. It was just simply because of a determination in their own heart not to believe in those miracles. We think about Mark chapter 8 and verse 17. And there the Bible says, when Jesus knew it, he said to them, "Why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have you your heart hardened?" Here we find a rebuke by Jesus Christ. Provisions had not been made, and the disciples thought that none could be provided as a result. And even though they had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000, even though they had witnessed the feeding of the 4,000 with the loaves and the fishes, their comprehension, their trust, their confidence in Jesus Christ was still confused. What's the reason for that? Jesus said, it's because of your hardness of heart. We turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 6 and verse 14. And the Bible says, afterward, he appeared to the 11. Now we know that Jesus had died. He arose from the dead on the third day, just like he said he would. And we remember how that the disciples were shocked, still in a state of unbelief, when they had been told that our Lord had in fact risen from the dead. And the Bible says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and Jesus upbraided them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them which had seen him after he was risen. You see, even as late as after our Lord's resurrection, the apostles seemingly were still suffering from a hardness of heart that caused them to have doubt and that caused them to have unbelief. We turn in our Bibles to John chapter 12 and verse 40. And Jesus said here, he has blinded their eyes and harden their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. This is yet another instance of people allowing their hearts to be hardened. And we read in the Bible of warnings against hardening the heart in the New Testament. Our scripture reading tonight from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 said, exhort one another daily, while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. A very similar thought is expressed over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, where the Bible speaks of those whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Now, to me, it's a fearful thing. It's a very sad thing for one to consider that an individual can become so hardened against the truth of God that the saving gospel of Jesus Christ will absolutely make no impression upon that individual. Think about that. To me, that's a very frightening position for one to find oneself. One can become just like the hard ground that we read about in the parable of the sower. Even though the seed is planted there, it won't germinate. It cannot take root because of the hardness. Now, the Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14, happy is he that fears always. In other words, the individual that puts God as his trust and his confidence in God, and he respects God's authority, that individual is happy. The Bible says, in contrast to that in that verse, though, he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Now, when we study the scriptures, we see the ultimate condemnation of those that harden their hearts. If you look at Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, but after your hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. See, the Bible tells us that those that allow their hearts to become calloused and hardened are going to be the recipients one day of the wrath of God and the judgment of his condemnation. Now, I want us to think about tonight, in the next place, the hardening process. I think it's important for us to consider just how a person's heart becomes hardened. How does that transpire? How does one's heart become hardened? Does it happen suddenly? Is it a gradual process? Is it something that just takes place over a period of time? Is it accomplished by just one self alone? Or are there additional factors involved in the hardening of one's heart? Now, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 teaches us that we learn from the things that have been written aforetime. That is, we can learn from the record of those whose lives are recorded for us in the Old Testament. Now, there's a person that we read about in the Old Testament whose heart was hardened. And I think we can learn from this individual the answer to many of our questions on this subject. Tonight I'm going to briefly talk to you about a man named Pharaoh. We know that he was the king of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that particular time. He had many people under his dominion, including the Israelites who had been in bondage for some 430 years. And we remember very fondly the story of how God called Moses through the burning bush. He said, "I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you, Moses, to bring my people out of Egyptian bondage." Now, the events involved in this particular story, this particular account, involve the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. If we turn to Exodus chapter 7 and 8, the Bible tells us how Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Just briefly, there were three factors involved. Number one, we know that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 3 says, God speaking there, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Secondly, though, another factor was the magicians of Pharaoh's court. They contributed also to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Verse 22 of chapter 7 says, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said." And then thirdly, Pharaoh was involved in hardening his own heart. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 15, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief," that is from the plague, the Bible says he hardened his heart and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And so for the next few minutes, I want us to discover very quickly the role of each of these in hardening the heart of Pharaoh. I want us to briefly look at the role that God played, the role that the magicians played. I want us to look at the role that Pharaoh played in the hardening of his own heart. And then there are some lessons, some practical applications that I believe we can put into our own lives. First of all, I want us to look at God's part. Now, God's part simply consisted of making a demand on the king. If you look at Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, we find the words, "Thus says Jehovah, the God of Israel, let my people go." Now, of course, that command went against the financial and the political interests of Pharaoh and Egypt. It offended his pride. It offended the prestige of such a great and powerful leader. And Pharaoh refused to obey. Pharaoh said, "Who is God that I should hearken unto his voice? Who is this God that I should pay attention to him?" God's part in hardening Pharaoh's heart was simply to make a demand on him. We know how God would later send plagues on the land of Egypt to bring about the recognition of his power and to compel the Egyptians to comply with what God desired. And we know that under great pressure and because of the inconvenience of the plagues that were sent, that Pharaoh would temporarily relent. But then when there was relief, when the plague was lifted, Pharaoh would change his mind and he wouldn't allow the Israelites to leave. Did God force Pharaoh to harden his heart? Not at all. He never removed from Pharaoh the power of choice. God never made it impossible for Pharaoh to obey. God simply demanded something of Pharaoh, and that necessitated the making of a choice, a decision, either to obey the Lord or to disobey. Now that's God's role in hardening Pharaoh's heart. We might look now at the magician's part in hardening the heart of Pharaoh. Now, the magicians played a different role. You know, when Moses would perform some noteworthy deed, maybe turning his rod into a serpent, or perhaps turning water into blood, or even bringing frogs upon the land, the magicians of Pharaoh seemingly could duplicate that deed. Now that shocks me just a little bit, that they were even able to duplicate seemingly what Moses was initially able to do in demonstrating the power of God. And just how and by what power this was done or allowed, we can only speculate, either through some trickery or through some sorcery, or some God-allowed evil powers were not in a position to determine. But apparently they did something that caused Pharaoh to really have no special concern regarding Moses or his God, and the result of the magician's work was to convince Pharaoh to believe a lie. And that is that God and his power was nothing more than the magicians and their power. And therefore, God did not really deserve to be obeyed. And so these magicians led Pharaoh to be very confident in his error. They led him to believe what was untrue and to stand firm in what was wrong. Now let's look at Pharaoh's part. You know, Pharaoh also hardened his own heart, and we don't need to really belabor this point. Pharaoh viewed the situation. He made up his own mind not to do as God directed. To submit to God was just simply too damaging to his power and prestige and prominence and vanity. And Pharaoh determined in his own heart that he was not going to yield. Now, we need to realize that the day of hardened hearts is still with us, just like existed in New Testament times. I think the warnings today are just as applicable as they were back then. And so let's very quickly, as we close tonight, make some practical applications. You know, we need to realize tonight that God still plays a role today in hardening the heart. God has given certain commands, and God expects his will, he expects his commands to be carried out. There are certain commands that have to be obeyed in order for one to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we have to submit to those commands. One has to believe in God with all of his heart, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. One must repent. Jesus gave no option. Luke 13, 3 and 5. One must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And of course, we cannot overstress the importance of baptism and how that baptism puts one into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. It's in the act of baptism that we contact the blood of Jesus because we're buried with our Lord in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And then we know that there are commands that one has to obey after he becomes a citizen of the Lord's kingdom. Now, God's commands necessitate the making of a choice on your part and on my part. And just like in the case of Pharaoh, often God's commands run contrary to the evil desires, the behavior, the ambitions, the determinations of sinful people. You see, before one can ever live for the Lord, he has to surrender his own will to God. Submission to God simply means that we sacrifice our will and our desires to do his will. And many people simply do not want to submit to God. They don't want to submit to God's will because, you see, they want to do their own thing. They want to have it their own way. Some will even go so far as to deny the existence of God in order to avoid trying to respect the authority of the Word of God. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ, whenever it's preached, it acts like a fire. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9 actually presents the Word of God as a burning fire. And we know that fire can melt wax, but fire can also harden clay. It all depends on the quality of the material that's brought before it. Now, the gospel can soften the heart of that individual that seeks the truth, but the gospel will harden the heart of that individual that's stubborn and wants to continue to do things his own way. The gospel is, it's designed to be God's means of saving man, but it can also be the means of condemnation if we reject it. And just as Jesus came into this world to save sinners, refusing to submit to him puts us under condemnation. John 3 and verse 17 says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, every time the gospel is heard, it either softens or it hardens. When it's heard and believed and obeyed, it means spiritual life. But when it's heard and rejected, the result is spiritual death. And so God still plays a role in hardening human hearts. Because you see, we have to make a choice as to who is going to be our master. We have to decide if we're going to serve God or if we're going to serve Satan and our own lust and desires. You see, the hearts of man are often hardened because we're not willing to make that choice. But let me also point out that false teachers also can play a role. Many times the heart of man is hardened by those who teach error and those that can contribute to causing individuals to repudiate the truth. Now, if a heart is filled with error, there's not going to be room for truth. And indeed, the more error that one believes, the less one's heart is going to be open to the truth. And one can become prejudiced against the truth, closed to it. One can even get to the point where he's not even willing to examine and to try to investigate the evidence of the truth. You see, just as the magicians back in Pharaoh's day convinced him to believe a lie, today, tragically, false teachers, with their false doctrines and false ideas, cause people to believe a lie today. Sometimes I've made the statement, and I've heard folks here and other places make the statement. We say, how in the world could this individual be where he's at today? He didn't grow up that way. He was taught differently. He knows better, at least he ought to know better. How in the world could that individual, with the background that he has, how could he have left God and go off into error like he has? You see, they labor under a strong delusion, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. Their consciences have become seared, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. And for that reason, we must never allow ourselves to be hardened through the doctrines of men. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch, Matthew 15 and verse 14. And so we are challenged with the idea of ascertaining what we believe and what we practice, making sure that what we believe is founded upon thus saith the Lord. We cannot allow our hearts to be hardened by error. And then let's briefly look at our part as well. You know, people today still contribute to hardening their own hearts. They place more emphasis on what they think or how they feel or what they want or their particular pleasure or their material ambitions or their desires rather than what God has directed through His Word. When our hearts are hardened, it's because we've made the choice to harden that heart. And we're not forced to do that, but we choose that way. And eventually, and sadly, a person can make himself beyond even being able to be molded and fashioned in the way of the Lord. Now, seeing tonight how the heart of man is hardened, and noting all the warnings against hardening one's heart, each one of us needs to ask ourselves the question, what about my heart? Not your heart, not somebody else's heart. What about my heart? Is my heart pliable? Is my heart soft and moldable? Am I receptive to the truth of God's Word? I want us to look as we close at two words, hearken and hardened. These two words sound a lot alike, but they're really very different. Now, to hearken means that we hear. It means that we heed and obey. To hearken means that we have life abundantly now in this life, but most importantly, we have a home in heaven when this life is over. To harden, on the other hand, means to hear, but to reject. And the result of hardening is eternal condemnation. Hebrews 3 and verse 15 says, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Jesus said in Mark 7 and verse 14, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. How is it going to be with you? While together we stand and sing.